Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, August 30th, 2022, Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel. Joel chapter 1. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Tuesday night is the book of Joel in the Old Testament. I always teach at least one book from the Old Testament. And I am different than most pastors today. I thought the best system was the way that Colonel Thame set it up, where he taught a different class each day. I thought that was the absolute best way to do it, it being in a different book every single day. And I know that's not the way it's done today by most pastors. Most pastors get in one book and then they ride that horse to the end. But I don't do that. And I won't do that. For one thing, I'm not as smart as all these other guys, see? And so if I just taught in the book in the New Testament, that's all I taught, I would forget everything I knew about Hebrew. I'm not a genius like the rest. So, I'm always studying Hebrew, I'm always studying Greek. And also, I think that when you get in just one book and stay there, well, you have a... Do you dance to that? You get in just one book and stay there. Well, you get on a hobby horse and ride it. and you miss out on the full realm of doctrine. So I've been here. I know I stuck with the kernel system. And I don't go, and I never will get in. It's easier. It's easier. Just one book and teach it every night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday, Sunday. That's easy. That's the easy way to go. I don't do anything the easy way. So I'm in different book on Sunday, different book on Tuesday, different book on Wednesday, different book on Thursday. It's a lot harder. Sometimes I'm up here and I say he that's Hebrew word and we're in Greek, and I say the Greek word and we're in Hebrew, and so you put up with the old pastor up here. But that's what I follow, that system, and I still believe that is the best way to communicate the Word of God and cover the whole realm of doctrine that way. And I picked Joel because I really believe that the United States of America and the Southern Kingdom in the time of Joel have a lot in common. Unfortunately, we have a lot in common. And in Joel's day, the Southern Kingdom, Judah, was going through the fourth cycle of national discipline, economic disaster. And we are going through economic disaster. You haven't seen anything yet. It's coming faster than you realize. That is the fourth cycle of national discipline. And that only leaves one cycle left. That's the fifth cycle of national discipline. And all of that is covered in Joel. That's why I picked Joel. So we have, let's start at Joel chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord, which divine revelation came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, and the mandate, hear this! And he's saying that to the people in the Southern Kingdom, Judah, because they weren't listening to the teaching of the Word of God. Just like America. Just like the United States of America. Hear this, you elders, and be motivated to listen, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this ever occurred in your lifetime? No. Or has anything like this ever occurred in the lifetime of your ancestors? No. Intensively teach your children about this economic disaster from the locust invasion. And let your children intensively teach their children about it. And let their children intensively teach the next generation about it. Verse 4. And in verse 4, we have the etymology verse. We have four different categories of locusts, and these are all real, a part of the literal invasion at the time of Joel. There were four different locust invasions of the Southern Kingdom, Judah, and when they finished, there was complete economic disaster. Fourth cycle of discipline all the way. But they didn't just refer to the fourth cycle of discipline and four locust invasions. They were prefiguring that if they don't listen, to the teaching of the Word of God, if they don't turn back to God and His Word, then these four locust invasions will prefigure four military invasions by the Assyrian military. The greatest empire in the world at this time was Assyria. Not Syria, but Assyria. So verse 4. What the gnawing locust has left, that's prefiguring Tiglath-Pileser III, or Pul, the swarming locust has devoured. That's Sargon II, who administered the fifth cycle of national discipline on the Northern Kingdom in 721 BC. And what the swarming locust has left, the lick-up locust has devoured, representing Sennacherib, who came, well, he thought for sure he was going to administer the fifth cycle of discipline on the southern kingdom, Judah. He came that close to doing it. And that's as far, we've got to the last locust in verse 4. Now all four critters in verse 4 are four types of locusts. I don't know if any of you even have a King James Version anymore. If you do, it was they flunked in their translation on this. We have canker worms, palmer worms, caterpillars, everything except locusts. They got a flunk. But all four critters in verse 4 are four types of locusts. The four locust invasions were literal disasters, economic disasters in Joel's day. This was going on in Joel's day. The fourth cycle of national discipline was going on in the southern kingdom in Joel's day. The four Assyrian invasions came after Joel's time, and they represent four literal military invasions and disasters and represent the fifth cycle of national discipline. 50 years after Joel departs from the scene, we have the first of four great Assyrian invasions. Those four invasions were, first of all, the invasion of Tiglath-Pileser III, or Pul. Secondly, the invasion of Sargon II, who God used to administer the fifth cycle of discipline on the northern kingdom. Now remember the principle, you've been taught this before. When a nation gets into apostasy, like the northern and southern kingdom in Joel's day, or like the United States of America in our day, then God uses evil one to destroy evil two. God used evil one, an evil nation, the Assyrian nation, totally evil nation, to destroy the client nation to God, the northern kingdom, evil two. The client nation to God, the northern kingdom, was evil, evil, evil. And the fifth cycle of discipline. And God uses evil one, like Assyria, to destroy evil two, the northern kingdom. And then he used evil one, Assyria, to destroying the southern kingdom, Judah. They were totally, all the towns around, all the towns in the southern kingdom were totally destroyed. Jerusalem was surrounded. And here we have the famous Taylor Cylinder. Colonel Taylor, great archaeologist, found this. And Sennacherib writes in that Taylor Cylinder, "I have Hezekiah like a bird in a cage. I'm just going to go in and take him." And he did. Southern Kingdom was that close to the fifth cycle of national discipline. Once again, evil one, Assyria, used by God to administer judgment on evil two, this time the southern kingdom, Judah. So the second invasion, the invasion of Sargon II, administered the fifth cycle of discipline on the northern kingdom, evil one, Assyria, to evil two, the client nation to God, the northern kingdom. The invasion of Sennacherib almost administered the fifth cycle of discipline on the southern kingdom, Judah. And then the fourth invasion, the invasion of Esarhaddon, and we are yet to study that one. What the gnawing locust has left, Tiglath-Pileser III, or Pul, and Tiglath-Pileser III is actually, probably of all of them, the greatest military genius of them all. He was a total military genius who made Assyria one of the most feared empires in all of world history. Almost from the time he became king, this man never stopped devouring, destroying peoples and nations. Tiglath-Pileser III carved out a huge empire by military invasion and conquest. And we see him in the scriptures in Isaiah chapter 7 through 11. What the gnawing locust has left, Tiglath-Pileser III, or Pul, the swarming locust has devoured. That's Sargon II. God had prophesied in Joel 1:4 that the Arbe locust, Sargon II, would come on the scene and devour all the nations and peoples around, even to a greater extent than Tiglath-Pileser III did. It was Sargon II who totally devastated the northern kingdom, Israel, who is also called in these passages Samaria. God used Sargon II and his huge military machine to administer the fifth cycle of national discipline on the northern kingdom, Samaria or Israel, in 721 BC. And we're in the fourth, we're in the fourth cycle of discipline in the United States of America. We are an evil, degenerate, arrogant, reversionistic nation. And there isn't anything we are doing, not one thing we are doing that is right. Everything we are doing is evil, satanic, and it's leading to destruction. And there are, just like in the days of Joel, there are a lot of evil one nations out there who would love to destroy America. Lots of them. Russia would love to destroy the United States. China would love to destroy the United States. North Korea would love to destroy the United States. Iran would love to destroy the United States. They're all evil, evil nations. And right now, Russia and China are doing military exercises together. Russia and China are doing military exercises together. Kind of, who are the four players in the tribulation? Well, the United States of America is not there. When the tribulation occurs, there are four great players. The United States is not there at all. Russia is there, the king of the north. They will have the greatest military that this world has ever known. Nothing and nobody can stop them except Jesus Christ. No nation will stop the king of the north, Russia. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. China, the kings of the east, China, Korea, all of them will come in from the east. So you got the China, and you got the Chinese kings of the east and the king of the north, Russia, right now doing military exercises together. They're buddy buddies. And then you have the king of the south, the Pan-Arabic bloc. They come up from the south. You got the revived Roman Empire, European Europe. And they come in from the west. They all come in to the Valley of Megiddo. The Battle of Armageddon. All the armies of the world can assemble there. And they will. So we might not be that far away from the rapture. All the things are in place. The only thing that's holding it back is God the Holy Spirit, the restraining ministry of the Spirit, is holding everything back. But when the rapture takes place, the restraining ministry of the Spirit is over. And now the Antichrist comes on the scene, Satan's number one man, the Antichrist. The false prophet, his right-hand man, comes on the scene. And now there is the Antichrist will become the ruler of planet Earth. So we're all set for it. Only thing waiting for is the rapture. That's all waiting for in the plan. See, God puts it all down. God puts it all down. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. God explains exactly what's going to happen. There are all these prophecies about the first advent of Jesus Christ. Every single prophecy was fulfilled 100% to the letter on the first advent of Jesus Christ. And there are all of these prophecies about the tribulation and the second advent of Christ. And just as they were all fulfilled literally to the letter to the first coming of Christ, they will all be fulfilled literally to the letter and the tribulation and the second advent of Jesus Christ. God says this is going to happen, and it happened. So God used Sargon II and his huge military machine to administer the fifth cycle of national discipline on the northern kingdom, Samaria, Israel, in 721 BC. Sargon II accomplished in 1 year what Shalmaneser V had begun earlier, but due to his total ineptitude, he was not able to finish. Sargon II completely destroyed the northern kingdom Israel and took the surviving Israelites as slaves back to Assyria. He was an extremely cruel, cruel leader. And he put meat hooks in the flesh of the Israelite survivors, tied them to ropes, and pulled them, dragged them, led them back to Nineveh, and there was never, ever, ever another northern kingdom. It was gone forever. What the gnawing locust has left, Tiglath-Pileser III, the swarming locust has devoured, Sargon II, the administration of the fifth cycle of discipline on the northern kingdom in 721 B.C., what the swarming locust, Sargon II, has left, the lick-up locust has devoured, and that prefigures Sennacherib. Sennacherib's invasion of the southern kingdom Judah is remarkably described in one of the greatest of all archaeological finds, the Taylor Cylinder. Sennacherib thought that he was going to do to the southern kingdom Judah what his father, Sargon II, did to the northern kingdom, Israel. However, there was a great spiritual revival under Isaiah's ministry. The nations turned back to God and His Word. And it resulted in the last minute, when Sennacherib had Jerusalem surrounded and ready to take them out, in the last minute, Jesus Christ delivered the southern kingdom by killing 185,000 Assyrians. 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. That holds the record, by the way, for the killing of enemy in battle by one person. Jesus Christ holds the record. He's the greatest soldier of all time, holds the record, 185,000. Isaiah 37, verse 36, then the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, went out and put to death 185,000 soldiers in the Assyrian camp. And when the army got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh, and he stayed there. And then, verse 38, and one day while he was worshiping in the temple of his god, he was worshiping demons, Nisroch, his own sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer, cut him down with the sword. They murdered their father. And they escaped to the land of Ararat, which is Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, succeeded him as king. What the gnawing locust has left, Tiglath-Pileser III, the swarming locust has devoured, Sargon II, the administration of the fifth cycle of discipline on the northern kingdom, 721 BC. What the swarming locust, Sargon II, has left, the lick-up locust has devoured Sennacherib. Now that brings us to the conclusion of Joel 1:4. And it says in the King James, we have canker worms and caterpillars, and you know that there's none of those, they're locusts. And that which the canker worm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. That's the King James. This is the conjunction vav prefix to the noun yeter plus the noun yelek with the definite article plus the noun kasil with the definite article plus the cal perfect of the verb akal. The conjunction vav is continuative, correctly translated and. And once again, we have yeter, which is a military term, and it means what the enemy has left. And then we have yelek repeated, which is with the definite article, which is the lick-up locust or representing Sennacherib. Now we have the fourth category of locust, kasil. C-H-A-S, long I-L, kasil. All right, a couple of things on the kasil. One, kasil is the fourth category of locust in Joel 1, verse 4. It's the fourth category of locust in Joel 1, 4. Two, it comes from the Hebrew verb kasal. That's C-H-A-S-A-L, kasal. And kasal means to finish off, to consume, to bring to an end. To finish off, to consume, to bring to an end. Three, kasil is the finish off locust. It is the finish off locust. For when this locust is finished, there is absolutely nothing left. No green plants left. So when this locust is finished, there is absolutely nothing left. No green plants left. No grass, no leaves, no plants. Five. The kasil locust makes up the fourth locust invasion of Joel 1:4. Now all four of these locust invasions literally happened in Joel's day. Tremendous national judgment from God. So So the Casile locust makes up the fourth locust invasion of Joel 1:4. And all of these four locust invasions literally happened in the day of Joel. This was the fourth cycle of national discipline. This was terrific and horrific economic disaster. But they also prefigured the Assyrian invasion of the four Assyrian invasions. And here, the Assyrian invasion by King Esarhaddon, who reigned as king from B.C. 681 to 669. So the Casile locust makes up the fourth locust invasion, a literal invasion, total economic disaster, and prefigured the Assyrian invasion of King Esarhaddon. 6. Esarhaddon not only devastated Israel, administering the fourth cycle of discipline to the southern kingdom Judah, but he also did something no other Assyrian king had ever done. He conquered Egypt. He not only devastated Israel, administering the fourth cycle of discipline to the southern kingdom Judah, but he also did something no other Assyrian king had ever done. He conquered Egypt. Esarhaddon is the son of Sennacherib, and he outdid his dad. His father could not conquer Egypt, but Esarhaddon did. 7. This is the peak of the Assyrian Empire. This is the peak of the Assyrian Empire. 8. Esarhaddon is mentioned in 2 Kings 19:37, Isaiah chapters 37 and 38, and Ezra 4 verse 2. So he's mentioned in 2 Kings 19:37, Isaiah chapters 37 and 38, Ezra chapter 4 verse 2. And then we have the verb akal. And once, we had this before, once again it means to devour. So Esarhaddon, the finish off locust, number 4, locust number 4 of Joel 1:4. So a couple of things. 1, his father, Sennacherib, was assassinated in 681 B.C., by his two sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer, and that was Isaiah 37, verse 38. So Sennacherib, Esarhaddon's father, was assassinated or murdered in 681 B.C. by his two sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer, Isaiah 37, 38. And this was in fulfillment of a prophecy by Isaiah earlier in chapter 37, Isaiah 37, verses 5 through 7, which says, when King Hezekiah's officials came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, tell your master, the king, King Hezekiah, this is what the Lord says, or thus saith the Lord, don't be afraid of what you have heard, those words with which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Listen, I am going to put a spirit in him so that when he hears a certain report, he will return to his own country, and there I will have him cut down with the sword. He was murdered by his own sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer. And Isaiah prophesied that before it took place. 2. Adrammelech and Sharezer assassinated their father. Why? because their brother, S.R. Haddon, was Daddy's favorite son. Sennacherib told the other two sons that they were out. They were not going to be king. And that their brother, S.R. Haddon, would be the next king of Assyria. So they murdered their father. And then they fled to Ararat, which is Armenia. 3. At the time, S.R. Haddon was away conducting a military campaign. But he immediately returned to Nineveh and was made the king of Assyria. I can tell by looking at some of your faces that you're not thrilled with what I'm teaching you right now. Well, that's your problem. That's not my problem. That's your problem. This is truth and the Word of God. And all the Word of God ought to mean something exciting to you. And I don't see anybody looking exciting in here. I guess the locusts have got you down. Maybe it's the heat. You live in the desert, for God's sake. It's going to get hot. That's what deserts are. At least nobody will die of frostbite. So when you go to tonight and you pray, thank God for the blessings that you won't die of frostbite. This next week's going to be hot, hotter, and hottest. Great! I like hot. I hate cold. I like hot. Coldest I've ever been was in New Mexico on a turkey hunt with I hate cold. Love hot. I think the desert's great. This time of the year in September, up in Spokane and eastern Washington, they called it an Indian summer. You get hot in September. An Indian summer. We're ahead of that. We have Indian hell right here. They know nothing. They have nothing on us. And it's great. Good for you. I don't want to hear any complaining because it's hot out there. I get you in here and I turn the temperature down. Then I see you all putting on sweaters and coats and everything. Four, S.R. Haddon rebuilt Babylon, and then he invaded and conquered Egypt. After defeating the Egyptians, this is what S.R. Haddon wrote, and we have this from archaeology. Listen to this guy. This guy had such humility. He said, "I am powerful. I am all-powerful. I am a hero. I am gigantic. I am colossal. I am the king of the kings of Egypt." Very humble little guy. S.R. Haddon. He goes on to say, "Daily, without cessation, I slew multitudes of his men, and to Harka, king of Egypt and Ethiopia, I stabbed him 5 times with the point of my javelin, with wounds from which there was no recovery. Memphis, his royal city, in half a day, with mines, tunnels, assaults, I besieged, I captured, I destroyed, I defeated, I burned with fire." That was S.R. Haddon, who's the only Assyrian king to defeat and conquer Egypt. He invaded and conquered Egypt. So the corrected translation. What the gnawing locust has left, Tiglath-Pileser III, the swarming locust has devoured, Sargon II, the one who administered the fifth cycle of discipline on the Northern Kingdom in 721 BC. What the swarming locust has left, Sargon II, the lick-up locust has devoured, Sennacherib. And what the lick-up locust has left, the finish-off locust has devoured, Esarhaddon. All right. Now that brings us to Joel chapter 1, verse 5. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep. So we're not going to be talking about the locusts anymore. Now we're going to be talking about all the drunks. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep. We have the hiphil imperative of the verb keets, plus the masculine plural adjective shikor. In the plural, it's shikorim, plus the conjunction vav prefix to the cal imperative of baka. Keets. Q long I T S. Keets. One, keets means to show signs of waking up, to show signs of waking up or to awake. Now this is a command from Joel. The southern kingdom in Joel's day was a nation of alcoholics. They were living in Satan's cosmic system. They were alcoholics. And so he gives a command. You're living in Satan's cosmic system. You're in alcoholic arrogance. You're in degeneracy. Wake up! This is a command to all the alcoholics in the southern kingdom. Wake up! Get out! Get out of the cosmic system. Get out of your alcoholic arrogance. Now, there's going to be really hard for them. God put them on the wagon. You know how God put them on the wagon? Four locust invasions. There are no grapes. There's no grapes. There's no wine. There's no barley. There's no wheat. There's no beer. There's no alcohol because the locusts have eaten everything that you make alcohol out of. So they've all gone on the wagon. And they're crying and bawling and weeping because there's no wine, no beer to drink. So he says, Keats! I like that. Wake up! Two. It literally means to wake up from sleeping. It literally means to wake up from sleeping. Three. It is used in our verse to wake up from a drunken stupor. From our verse, it means to wake up from a drunken stupor. Four. In Proverbs 23:29-35, we have the M.O. of the alcoholic. The M.O. of the alcoholic. Turn over to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, starting at verse 29. Who hath woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine. Who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. Stop gazing at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Your eyes will see strange sights and your mind imagine, well, you might have confusing things, it's literally perversity. You will be like one sleeping on the high seas, lying on top of the rigging. They hit me, you will say, but I'm not hurt. They beat me, but I don't feel it. When will I wake up so that I can find another drink? All right, here's the Proverbs gives the MO of the alcoholic. Drink and then sleep. Drink and sleep. Drink and sleep. This is the alcoholic. You can always identify an alcoholic. Drinks, then he's sleeping. All day long, all night, drink and then sleep. Drink and sleep. Drink and sleep. That's the MO of the alcoholic. Easy as thing in the world to see. 5. In verse 35, we have our verb keets. Proverbs 23, verse 35. The word, when will I wake up so I can find another drink? That's our verb. Same verb we have in Joel 1, 5 is in Proverbs 23, 35. So in verse 35, we have our verb keets that is used, and the idea is that the alcoholic wakes up from one drunken stupor so that he can go drink again and drink himself into another one. He drinks and then he sleeps. He drinks and then he sleeps. He drinks and then he sleeps. The MO of the alcoholic. The Hifil stem is causative. God has sent this locust invasion to cause or motivate the reversionists in Judah to wake up. 6. The divine discipline of the locust invasion has been sent by the justice of God to cause reversionists to come to their senses and rebound. Get out of the cosmic system. Get back into fellowship with God. Get out of your alcoholic arrogance. The divine discipline of the locust invasion has been sent by the justice of God to cause reversionists to come to their senses and rebound. Get back into fellowship with God. Get out of the cosmic system. Get out of your alcoholic arrogance. And the imperative mood is a command. 7. The reversionists in Judah are commanded by God to wake up, to come to their senses, to rebound, to get back into fellowship with God, to get out of the cosmic system, and start living the spiritual life. Reversionists in Judah are commanded by God to wake up, to come to their senses, rebound, get back into fellowship with God, get out of the cosmic system, and start living the spiritual life. So he starts out in verse 5. Imperative mood of Keats. Wake up! This is Joel addressing the people in the southern kingdom, Judah. And the Southern Kingdom was a nation full of alcoholics. Well, the United States of America is a nation full of alcoholics and drug addicts. We're a nation full of alcoholics and drug addicts. We legalize drug. We legalize marijuana. It's a drug. And I told you for years that Northwestern University did studies to show that it linked with mental illness. Now they've come out again. New studies. Marijuana causes mental illness. Schizophrenia. And we legalize it. Stupidest decision this state ever. But it's because all the California idiots coming over here, they grow it there, sell it here. They're making all kinds of bucks. And we're destroying ourselves. We are destroying ourselves with alcohol and drugs, from marijuana all the way through, all the opiates. Now everybody's concerned about fentanyl. Well, you ought to be concerned about all of it. Marijuana all the way through. But we're not. It's okay. Reading about a football player from Texas who went pro. I won't tell you his name. He went pro. And he was a rookie. And one of the starting running backs took him to his place and told him, "You're going to get hit. You're going to hurt. And the only way you're going to make it and survive is to take drugs. Marijuana and other drug." And he says, "I take marijuana all the time." This was when it was illegal. And so he got this rookie from Texas that all of you think is a great running back, and he was taking marijuana all the time he was running. And he was taught that by the starters all throughout the NFL, any professional sport. They're drug addicts. We're a nation of drug addicts. We're a nation of alcoholics. We're no different than in Joel's day. No different at all. In many ways, we're worse than in Joel's day. So, Joel says in verse 5, "Wake up! Come to your senses! Rebound! Get out of the cosmic system! Get out of your alcoholic arrogance! Get back into fellowship with God." And then the adjective shikor. That's S-H-I-K-K-O-R, shikor. Shikor means drunken. It's used as a substantive, and as a noun, it means drunken one, drunkard, drunk. It's in the plural, drunkards, drunks, inebriated ones. Now, once these drunks wake up from their drunken stupor, now they're commanded to weep. The conjunction vav is again continuative, and it introduces the second command of verse 5. Baka. B-A-K-A-H, baka. One baka means to weep. 2, this is the bad weeping of reversionists. This is the bad weeping of reversionists. Three, this is the reversionistic weeping of those living in the cosmic system in alcoholic arrogance. This is the reversionistic weeping of those living in the cosmic system in alcoholic arrogance. For this is the weeping of reversionists living in Satan's cosmic system. This is the weeping of reversionists living in Satan's cosmic system. 5, they cannot handle and they cannot deal with historical crisis and national disaster. They cannot handle and they cannot deal with historical crisis and national disaster. 6, the drunks are crying because the locusts have eaten all the vineyards, all the crops. And that means no wine, no beer, no alcohol at all. 7, the drunks are crying because the locusts have eaten all the vineyards, all the crops. That means no wine, no beer, no alcohol at all. Seven. One of the reasons why the people in Joel's day were in apostasy was because they were a nation of alcoholics. One of the reasons why the people in Joel's day were in apostasy was because they were a nation of alcoholics. But we are a nation of alcoholics and drug addicts. We're a nation of drug addicts. And when our president is letting him come over the border and they bring all their drugs and everybody is making a big deal about all the fentanyl that's coming over the border. Yeah, there's a lot, but all the drugs are coming over. The cartel is making bazillions because we are a nation of drug addicts. They bring it, and the Americans buy it and take it day after day after day after day. Eight, the drunk waking up from his stupor is a picture of Israel waking up from her apostasy. The drunk waking up from his stupor is a picture of Israel waking up from her apostasy. Nine, living in the cosmic system can be compared to the alcoholic. Living in the cosmic system can be compared to the alcoholic. First of all, both dull the senses. Living in the cosmic system, scar tissue of the heart. Scar tissue of the heart. Calloused heart. Secondly, both bind the individual. Enslave him. You're enslaved under its control. Three, both make you unable to distinguish what is right and what is wrong. Both make you unable to distinguish what is right and what is wrong. 4, both completely dominates the life of the individual. Both completely dominates the life of the individual. Ten, like the alcoholic, Israel is commanded by Joel to wake up, to weep, and to wail over her degeneracy and apostasy. Like the alcoholic, Israel was to wake up, commanded to wake up, weep, and wail over her degeneracy and apostasy. So the corrected translation, wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Father, we thank you, sir, for your grace to us. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.